nature of man's lot, and if we would not be overwhelmed or even dazed by those unwanted evils as if they were novel, let us summon to our minds beforehand not as great an evil as oftentimes happens, but the very greatest evil that possibly can happen. We must reflect upon fortune fully and completely. How often have cities in Asia, how often in Achaia, been laid low by a single shock of earthquake? How many towns in Syria, how many in Macedonia, have been swallowed up? How often has this kind of devastation laid Cyprus in ruins? How often has Paphos collapsed? Not infrequently are tidings brought to us of the utter destruction of entire cities. Yet, how small a part of the world are we, to whom such tidings often come? Let us rise, therefore, to confront the operations of fortune. And whatever happens, let us have the assurance that it is not so great as rumor advertises it to be. A rich city has been laid in ashes, the jewel of the provinces, counted as one of them, and yet not included with them. Rich though it was, nevertheless it was set upon a single hill, and that not very large in extent. But of all those cities, of whose magnificence and grandeur you hear today, the very traces will be blotted out by time. Do you not see how, in Achaia, the foundations of the most famous cities have already crumbled to nothing, so that no trace is left to show that they ever even existed? Not only does that which has been made with hands totter to the ground, not only is that which has been set in place by man's art and man's efforts overthrown by the passing days, nay, the peaks of mountains dissolve. Whole tracts have settled, and places which once stood far from the sight of the sea are now covered by the waves. The mighty power of fires has eaten away the hills through whose sides they used to glow, and has leveled to the ground peaks which were once most lofty, the sailor's solace and his beacon. The works of nature herself are harassed. Hence, we ought to bear with untroubled minds the destruction of cities. They stand, but to fall. This doom awaits them, one and all. It may be that some internal force and blasts of violence, which are tremendous, because their way is blocked, will throw off the weight which holds them down, or that a whirlpool of raging currents, mightier, because they are hidden in the bosom of the earth, will break through that which resists its power, or that the vehemence of flames will burst asunder the framework of the earth's crust, or that time, from which nothing is safe, will reduce them little by little, or that a pestilential climate will drive their inhabitants away, and the mold will corrode their deserted walls. It would be tedious to recount all the ways by which fate may come, but this one thing I know. All the works of mortal man have been doomed to mortality. And in the midst of things which have been destined to die, we live. Hence, it is thoughts like these, and of this kind, which I am offering as consolation to our friend Liberalis, who burns with a love for his country that is beyond belief. Perhaps its destruction has been brought about only that it may be raised up again to a better destiny. Oftentimes a reverse has but made room for more prosperous fortune. Many structures have fallen only to rise to a greater height. Timogenes, who had a grudge against Rome and her prosperity, used to say that the only reason he was grieved when conflagrations occurred in Rome was his knowledge that better buildings would arise than those which had gone down in the flames. And probably in this city of Lyon, too, all its citizens will earnestly strive that everything shall be rebuilt better in size and security than what they have lost. May it be built to endure, and under happier auspices, for a longer existence. This is indeed but the 100th year since this colony was founded, not the limit even of a man's lifetime. Led forth by Plancus, the natural advantages of its site have caused it to wax strong and reach the numbers which it contains today. And yet, how many calamities of the greatest severity has it endured within the space of an old man's life? Therefore, let the mind be disciplined to understand and to endure its own lot, and let it have the knowledge that there is nothing which fortune does not dare, that she has the same jurisdiction over empires as over emperors, the same power over cities as over the citizens who dwell therein. We must not cry out at any of these calamities. Into such a world have we entered, and under such laws do we live. If you like it, obey. If not, depart whithersoever you wish. Cry out in anger if any unfair measures are taken with reference to you individually. But if this inevitable law is binding upon the highest and the lowest alike, be reconciled to fate, by which